Well, we're going to go to our reading, which is still in Colossians. We're not changing tack there this morning. We will pray about our church later on, but we're just blathering on with our readings through Colossians. It's on page 1184 in your Bibles. It might be helpful this morning to have that open in front of you. My slides have broken down as well. So if you have that open in front of you, that would be really helpful going forward. But it says this, Paul changes tack slightly. He's talking about the big stuff of the church, and then he gets into the personal stuff of the family relationships, and he says this to us. This is God's word. He says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ to your serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." Amen. Well, do keep that open. That would be helpful as we push forward. I wanted to start off by saying something about uniforms. There are all kinds of uniforms in the world. Some of them are for work. I grew up as a student, part-time worker in the Sainsbury's era of the orange fleece. Do you remember that? Before they went all burgundy and trendy on us. But you think of the same thing with police or fire or ambulance. We picture uniforms, don't we, when we hear those words? Football teams are obvious as well. The colors speak very loudly about who's who. Schools, obvious places for uniforms. In the news this week, Stormont trying to make the whole thing a little bit more affordable. Some churches even have a kind of uniform, don't they? We can spot certain denominations around the country by their double-breasted suits or their long skirts or their berets. And of course, a hat like this one marks you as a certain kind of American. There's also that identity that is spreading across the world. Some in England have switched an A for an E. They've gone for mega. Have you heard of this? Make England great again. And you've seen that on your news. It's all about identity and belonging. And when we identify with someone or something, we tend to wear the uniform. We take on that character. And Colossians takes that larger idea of belonging to Jesus, part of a new blood-bought people, and it applies it to your whole life. And our reading shows that application in the Christian home. I'm going to put our focus there. I'll maybe say something on Monday about slaves and servants, but for the moment, we're looking at the uniforms we wear in the family. Firstly, to say that some of us wear the uniform of wife. If you keep your eye on verse 18, this is where Paul starts. And I don't think we like this verse. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. The reason I know that The reason I think we don't like that verse is that the Message translation puts it this way. It says, "Wives, understand and support your husbands." You see the difference? That's a noble effort of doing something, but it's wrong. It ignores what Paul says, and it robs the verse of all of its power. Submit always sounds harsh, doesn't it? I remember growing up and playing the game Mercy with my brother. You ever play this? You find a friend and you lock hands together, and you've got to push and try and resist until the other person submit. They say, mercy. And they submit, they give up. And I think because of things like that and our experience with that, this word speaks of a winner and a loser, doesn't it? And I know that, unfortunately, there are lots of marriages like that. There's a winner and a loser. I'm always a little bit suspicious of couples who say they never fight, they never argue. That sounds great. That sounds peaceful. But I suspect that it means that somebody in that marriage has won and somebody has lost. Now, we might need to repent of that to one another. It's not what Paul wants for our marriages. To submit here, folks, and in other places in the Bible, is to voluntarily place ourselves under the leadership of another. To voluntarily place ourselves under the leadership of another. Now, what you do when you become a Christian is exactly that. We do this when we become Christians. We submit to the leadership of another. We lose our autonomy. We're supposed to call Jesus Lord and not just Savior. We take his team shirt and we put it on. Submit is a gospel word. And it's also part of God's created order. So whether we like it or not, even though the times they are a-changing, God has placed the husband at the head of the household. I will come to the boys in a wee minute, but girls, ladies, sisters, you might need to wrestle with this a little bit. What is your response to a verse like that? Do you like it or do you not like it? Do you ignore it? Do you see it, but everything in you wants to disagree with it? Or could we wipe our minds clean for a moment and come to it fresh and actually see that there are two loyalties we owe in verse 18, and one feeds the other. Wives, submit to your husbands, that's one, as is fitting to the Lord, there's two. You read the whole verse and you see that our first and our highest allegiance, the most perfect version of submission, is to God. We call Jesus Lord. You see that? And then God says, that submission to God, he says to us, there's a right order of things. His love and lordship is for us all. And so, ladies, love your husbands in all the ways you can think of because it pleases the Lord. Love the men in your lives, in your church, because it pleases the Lord. What a wonderful but difficult instruction, right? Now, it comes with a condition, and here I'm going to talk to the men. So girls, you stop listening for a minute or two. Because some of us wear the uniform of husband. What Paul says about husbands was radical when he said it, and I think it probably still is again. We're in verse 19. Husbands, love your wives, and don't be harsh with them. In older times, in ancient Rome, there were written codes of family. There was a way they did things and certain rules for the men and the women and the children. But none of those ancient codes ever required husbands to love anybody. Now, that makes Paul's instruction, even in his day, it's not old-fashioned. It's not quaint. It is deeply radical, even today. Husbands, imagine it, are to love their wives. Have you ever heard of such a thing? And Paul uses the Christian love here. He speaks of agapo. Agape is what you might have heard of. That distinctly selfless, sacrificial love that we see so clearly in the Lord Jesus. In fact, boys, the only other place Paul uses this love word in this letter is when he speaks of God's love for us. Glance your eye back to verse 12 and you'll see it. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Dearly loved. That's what Paul's saying to us. husbands, guys, love your wives, love the women. Like, we should feel that the high standard of that, couldn't we? That kind of love. We need to repent of what it also says to us in verse 19. Harshness, any harshness that we've inflicted. We know these moments, don't we, boys? We've snapped at the end of a short temper, or because we're tired, or even because we've gone so long being quiet, we're taking hit after hit, demand after demand, that we just become bitter. And that's what Paul's word harsh is aiming at there. It's actually the word for bitterness. It's like a milk that has soured. I wonder if you've ever felt that. And of course, the opposite is sweetness. And at that point, folks, the girls can come back in if you want. That closes the circle of a godly marriage. Wives, love and submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives like God loves them and be sweet to them. You know, the world aims for that kind of ideal. They talk of men and women being sweethearts, don't they? We've all heard this. But friends, it is only in God's order that can be really true. Husbands, I want you to go home today and find a moment to be sweet with your wives. Now, you'll hate this, guys. You'll hate this. But you're going to have to use your words. You're going to have to say, honey, I love your gentleness with the children. Sweetie, I don't know how I could live without you. Your love and support. Darling, your strength has always gotten me through. Thank you. Now, you might think, for goodness sake, he's lost it. Soppy, sickly romance. Ugh. Guys, it's not sickly sweet. It is the flavor of the gospel. And I think our wives would happily and quickly submit to this kind of love, the way that God loves them. So go home and chew on that. The children are next. Some of us wear the uniform of children. Verse 20. It's worth saying that Colossians doesn't just talk of young children. If you look carefully at it, it just says children. Children, obey your parents in everything. And here we are again, for this pleases the Lord. You've spotted that theme, haven't you? We do all of this submitting and loving and sweetness because it pleases God. That higher motivation is always there. But children here is very general. It includes not just our young ones. It includes those of us who still have our parents. I don't think of myself as a child anymore. But my mom does. Those of us who still have our folks, we are children. And we can say that because of the fact that Paul addresses children here at all. It means that he sees them and he treats them as responsible members of the congregation. He's writing his letter. And who does he talk to? Everyone. He talks to the children. Now, that's easy enough. What we want to do here, though, is maybe glance at the three verses we've looked at already and see that there's a difference, maybe, between submit and obey. Did you see that on the way through? Wives are to submit, husbands are to love, children are to obey. Now, one commentator sees those not as different actions, but as overlapping things. We might say that obedience is a form of submission. You could do it that way. Do you know, I stopped short here writing. I didn't know what else to say. So you're going to do the work yourself. How you receive that wisdom, that idea of obeying and submitting, how you hear that, how you work that out, will be as unique as you are, folks. You know your parents. You know your kids. You know what this means for you. But don't miss how it is rooted in Jesus. Paul is trying to say to us that our new life in him always goes with us, whether it's to church, whether it's to work, or whether it's on the way home. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Exceptions aside, there are exceptions, of course there are. Abusive parents is a difficult thing to talk about. But generally speaking, you bring your faith, your new identity, your uniform with you wherever you go. Now, like husbands and wives, there's also a condition for the parents and for children. If children are to obey, then parents, and specifically here it's fathers, are to encourage their children. Paul actually puts it in the same language we heard about the wives. Remember, harsh? He says the same thing here. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. That's verse 21. We're to raise our children to be those who also acknowledge God's order of things, to encourage them to take up the challenge of serving God in their homes and in their churches. Now, maybe it's better to see it as Paul does. You see how he avoids two negative emotions in that verse? Bitterness is one, and discouragement is the other. Now, he's probably thinking of a few things, but one of them is from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says this. This is Deuteronomy 21. Listen to this for parenting advice. If someone has a stubborn or rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They will say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious." Now, if I see you dragging one of your children up the driveway of the manse this week, maybe we'll be ready for that. Paul's not quoting that, but he's probably thinking of something like that. And he tells fathers, and I think mothers as well, to raise children in a way that avoids this kind of thing. There's to be some discipline, of course, but of the kind that doesn't cause our kids to lose heart or maybe more importantly, lose faith. That's tough, isn't it? That's as tough a calling as a Christian will have. Parents know that it's hard to raise kids. Nearly everyone agrees on that point. But Christian parents have it harder, because they have a duty not only to their children, but to their God. So folks, we need to take the whole family and devote it to God. We need to make Jesus part of our families as a first step before we do anything else. We might say, in our house, dad's the boss. Have you heard that? Maybe you grew up in a home like that. Dad was the boss. Maybe it was reversed in your house. Maybe mom was the one you were frightened of. In our homes, we declare loudly and proudly, Jesus is the boss in our house. Wouldn't that be radical? Everything flows from his leadership and our submission and our obedience. Wives submit to Jesus. They seek his will in loving their husbands. Husbands follow Jesus and they live out that sacrificial agape love. When children follow Jesus, they seek to do as he did. He lived in perfect obedience to his father. And as moms and dads realize that their families belong to God before they ever belong to them. I'm gonna say that again. Moms and dads have to realize that their families belong to God before they belong to them. Paul Tripp, really helpful here. I had this on a screen for you. If you listen carefully, you'll get it. Paul says, good parenting, which does what God intends it to do, begins with this radical and humbling recognition that our children don't belong to us. Rather, every child in every home, everywhere on the globe, belongs to the one who created him or her. Children are God's possession for God's purpose. Do you know, the Romans had an idea for that. They called this the power of the Father. The power of the Father. There was a natural order in the family. But folks, the Christian family is where the natural order really lies. How do you become a better wife? Submit to God. How do you become a better husband? How do you love your wife better? You submit to God. How do you raise better kids? You submit them to God. How do you serve your parents better? You submit to God. Here's Paul Tripp again. Successful parenting, and I think we could say successful marriages as well. But he says, successful parenting or marriages are not about achieving goals, which you have no power to produce, but about being usable and faithful tools in the hand of the one who alone is able to produce good things in your children. Being usable and faithful tools. That is the power of the Father that we really need. And because of Jesus, we get to call him Father. Shall I pray for us? Let me pray for us. Father, sometimes we are quick to personalize faith. We forget others. And so we pray that faith would come into our families again, that faith would come into this church family again, so that Jesus would take the lead, that he would teach us real love and show the world a better way. We submit to him once again, even as we pray in his name. Amen.